2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says this: "We know if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." May we never love this life so much that we prefer this to heaven. Guys, as children of God, I know my sins are washed away. Not only that, but I know that I'm going to heaven, where God is, where my Savior is. By the way, where lots of my loved ones are. And there, there'll be no sickness. There'll be no nursing homes, no hospitals, no deathbeds, none of that. I'm looking forward to heaven. I want to go. By the way, it's beautiful there. It's beautiful. And the music, oh, the music is fantastic. Just more than we could ever imagine. The singing. Well, I tell you, when they say, "There is sunshine in my soul today," they don't look like a bunch of Baptists singing it. There's sunshine in their soul. They mean it. Now, and I don't mean to criticize you, but you could smile, right? But they just, boy, just think about heaven. Think about how it's going to be. Think about how there won't be any, you don't have to get up in the morning to take your medicine. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you won't have to say, "Was I going up the stairs or down the stairs?" Right? We won't forget stuff. We'll have it all together. Won't that be great? When this body, this earthly tabernacle, when this is dissolved, look, they'll put it in a box or they put it in a crematorium. It doesn't matter, because if you put it in a box and put it in the ground, you come back in a couple of years, it's dust. Or you put it in a crematorium and come out, it's dust. And you know what? It doesn't matter, because we don't need this body. I'm getting a new body in heaven, one not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I'm looking forward to heaven. And I don't want to get so caught up in what's going on here that it becomes more valuable, more preferred than what's there. Now look, I want to be here and serve God. I'm not trying to die today. But if I fall out, let me go. Right? I want to go to heaven. I want to be in heaven. But it's not that I'm trying to leave this life. It's just that I love that life. It's just that I've been looking forward to that life since the day I got saved. And more so, the more I know about it. Look at verse number 4, if you will. Actually, let's look at verse 2. "For in this we groan, in this body we groan." How many of you groan in this body? Amen. "Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." Look, it's not that we hate this body. We have some complaints, but we don't hate it. But we look forward to having a new one, a good one, a great one, a one that's not marred by sin and everything we've done, right? Like riding bulls or bungee jumping or parachuting or football or whatever, climbing, whatever it is you did. I can look back on one event in my life and say, that's where my back went wrong. One event, actually two now that I think about it. And that's when it all went wrong. But before that, I was fine. Not three. Well, I made some bad mistakes, didn't I? But now, see, now that manifests itself. I groan in this body, but when I get there, there won't be any groaning. Look, he says, burdened. Let's keep reading. Burdened. "Not for that we would be unclothed." Look, it's not that we just want to die, but being clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. So the desire is to be in heaven with God. I'm looking forward to that. And look, let me just draw it down just a minute. I know I'm going because I prayed. Because I realized I was a sinner. And I understood that Jesus Christ died on that cross and rose from the grave for me. And I prayed to God and I said, "God, I'm a sinner. And I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I ask you to forgive my sins." And when I prayed, they wrote my name in a book. And it can't be erased. It's permanent. It's eternal. And I know I'm going to heaven. That's why I can talk about heaven and long for heaven, because I know I'm going. Not only that, look at verse number 5. He that wroughteth for the self same thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of His Spirit. Look, I've already got a taste of what heaven's going to be like, because I have the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, living in me since I accepted Christ as my Savior. So I have that divine nature within me. I'm not a God, but I have God in me. And so God's, you know, moves me and impresses on me and reveals to me all kind of things by His Spirit through the anointing. And so I have that Spirit. And so I already know a little bit of what heaven's going to be like. A little bit. Verse number 6. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. We'll say, but God is everywhere. Yes, He is. But there is a place where the glory of God rests. And when we go to the holiest of all, the Holy of Holies, look, that one in the temple, that was in the tabernacle, that was just a figure of things to come. God would come down to the Ark of the Covenant, and Moses experienced the glory of God, and those high priests experienced the glory of God. But one day I will go before the throne of God, described in the book of Revelation, the elders and all that's pictured there. And so I will see the energy that is God Almighty. You say the energy? Yes. If you look at the description in the Bible, it's color and it's flashings, it's energy. And then you have Jesus on the right hand and you have the elders about. Look, God is Spirit. And that's what your Bible says, is what my Bible says. And so don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Jesus is the physical manifestation of God. But God the Father is not some white-haired, white-bearded old man. He is the very essence of God. He is the glory. And so we'll be before the throne of God and we'll see the physical manifestation, which is Jesus Christ. And we'll see all those who've gone before. Won't you be excited to meet Abraham face to face? Be exciting. And Elijah and Elisha and all them. By the way, tonight we're going to talk about Elisha, and it's going to be a great message. Look, if you can't be here, tune in. It's a Bible message. It's very important, and it's very relevant to who we are. And so, anyway, little plug. I'm looking forward to heaven. I'm looking forward to being with God. I know that if I'm absent from this body, I'll be present with the Lord. Verse number 8. Willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Please hear me this. I know we love our families. I know, look, hopefully you have built and established a life that you can enjoy, a life that you can appreciate, a life that you want to experience, that you don't want to leave your husband or your wife or your kids or whatever it may be. Look, hopefully you've got a life that you appreciate. And I do. I'm not saying I want to get out of this life. I'm just saying I'm looking forward to that life. Whether it's today or in 20 years or 50 years, doesn't matter. The point is I'm looking forward to it. And as a child of God, you should too. Verse number 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether we be absent or present, we may be accepted of Him. When are you going to die? Anybody got an expiration date? You might have already made funeral arrangements. That's a good thing. But I hope you didn't schedule it. Right? I mean, we don't know. I don't know if it's going to be tomorrow or today or again. I don't know when it's going to happen. But I know one thing for sure. All except Enoch and Elijah that's ever been born has died. Except for the ones that are here right now. There's 100% mortality rate. Everybody's going to face that day. Unless we go in the rapture. So plan. Know that it's coming. Part of what we're going to talk about tonight. But understand, we all face that time. And I want to be accepted of Him. I know I'm going to stand before the judgment seat. I know that I'm going to give an answer to God. Look at what He says in verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in His body according to that He has done, whether it be good or bad. Y'all ever think about that? You ever have that conversation with God? As you look at your life and you look at what you're doing, do you ever think one day I'm going to stand before God? And the things that I'm doing are going to be judged? Well, why did you do that? Did you do it for the right reasons? What are your motivations? Whether they be good or bad, it's going to be judged. You say, well, I helped somebody out. I did something for them. Well, why did you do it? Well, I did it because I got paid. Doesn't mean you can't do a good thing and get paid for it. But why did you do it? Did you do it because you wanted to do a good thing, or did you do it because you wanted a paycheck? Because you wanted to cash in? There are plenty of people in this world, unfortunately, and some of you know this, who take advantage of people. They do good things, but they don't do it for the right reasons. They do it so that they can get their hand in a pocket. That's going to get judged. Our works are going to be judged. Why do we do what we do? So, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We need to be mindful of that day. Verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. How many of us love Jesus? How many of us love Jesus so much? Look, he said, think about judgment day. But then he says, but it's the love of Christ. It's my love for Jesus that motivates me. I want to be accepted of him. I want him to be satisfied. But it's my love really that drives me. Thus we judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Our love for Christ should compel us to live his way. Look at what he says in verse 15, that we should not henceforth live unto ourselves, but unto him. That we shouldn't live for me. Because look at our lives. Are we living for the flesh? Are we living for the fulfilling of the lust of the flesh? It's whatever we want. Don't raise your hand, but just if you think about it, you say, well, I want that. And so you go get it. Is that how it works? Or do you have any consideration of how that's going to impact other people? Or how it's impacting your relationship with God? He says the love of Christ constrains us. Judgment day warns us. But he says we should not henceforth live for ourselves. I wonder how many of us as Christians can honestly say we've laid ourselves aside. We've set ourselves aside to live for God. To live for God. I don't mean you set yourself aside to work for a company. I mean you set yourself aside to live for God. That's the measurement. Verse 17. How many of you know this one by heart? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Something changed. I'm not like I used to be. I'm not who I used to be. And I hope, I believe, I'm trying to grow closer to God each day. And longing for heaven more today than yesterday. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are what? Passed away. Old things are dead. Old things are gone. Old ways are gone. Old temptations, old burdens, old worries, gone. You say, well, Pastor, that doesn't apply to me. Well, then fix it. We're in Christ. Just got to give that stuff up. Put it behind us. All things are become new. A new life. Born again. New life. A new way of thinking, a new attitude, new perception, new. Put that stuff behind us. How many of you wish you could forget your past? Well, how can you forget it? You're still carrying it. We got to leave it, pack it away. Pack it up. That's what happens when we get baptized, isn't it? We bury our past in the waters of baptism and we're risen to walk in newness of life. Isn't that what the Bible says? Buried with him in baptism, risen to walk in newness of life. Bury that old man. Paul said, my old man is crucified with Christ. That old man should have died the day you got saved. Verse 18. All things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now that word reconciliation means thorough change. Or a word we use today, transformation. I hear the kids talking about butterflies and they've been out plentifully around the house. Beautiful butterflies. And one of the kids said the other day, those boys killed a butterfly. I said, they killed a butterfly? Well, they killed a caterpillar. That's not the same thing. Everybody loves butterflies, right? Caterpillars, not so much. Isn't it interesting how the caterpillar destroys plants and the butterfly carries the pollen around to make them grow? Isn't that incredible? Why? You know why he does that? Because he's changed. In his early years, he was destructive and he destroyed things and he just consumed it according to the lust of his flesh, right? But then he was transformed and became a beautiful life, sharing life and spreading life and carrying forth. Whoa, what a beautiful picture of salvation. By the way, I don't encourage killing caterpillars. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What has he given to us? He said, guys, change, change, change. I'm not judging anybody in here. I don't see anybody in here and I say, you got to change. You need to do something different. I'm not doing that this morning. You know why? Because I see you Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. I don't know what you're doing on Monday and Tuesday. I hope the best. I believe the best of you. You're the only one between you and God who can determine what needs to change. Now, if I run into you outside of church and that's different, then that may be the case. But I'm telling you, between you and God, you know if you need to change. And let the Holy Spirit guide you in that change. But He's given us a ministry of thorough change, of reconciliation. Verse 19, last part, He says He's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Hey, what brings about thorough change? What will change our lives more than anything else? Get in the Word. Get in the book. Read it. Study it. Pour over it. Pour it into you. Learn it. Learn the ways of God, the standards of God, the principles of God, the teachings of God. It will change the way you look at the world. The word of reconciliation. Verse number 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. What does an ambassador do? He represents one nation to a foreign nation. I love America, but I represent heaven. I'm here on behalf of God. I'm here on behalf of Jesus Christ. I represent Him to this country. Now, what would you think of an ambassador of America going to a foreign land and won't ever represent our interests? You understand, that's what we're supposed to represent, the interests of heaven as ambassadors of Christ. You can go to another land, visit a foreign country. What happens if you lose your passport? What do? Go to the embassy, right? Talk to the ambassador, his staff, her staff. And you know what they do? They say, you're one of us. You're one of us. Guys, that's the way the church ought to be. You're one of us. We're in this together. We represent the same country. Even though we're all traveling on foreign soil, we're ambassadors for Christ. Be reconciled to God. It says He has made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus Christ, who never committed a sin, became our sin. Every sin we ever committed, any one of us, all of us, He took all that on the cross. He became our sin so that we could receive His righteousness. He paid a debt He didn't owe, and a debt we couldn't pay. And He did that for you. You know, heaven captures our imagination. By the descriptions given in Scripture, we have glimpses of what it's going to be like, right? Tell me what heaven's going to look like. Oh, you say, gates of pearl. Street of gold. Right? Maybe you can name all the pillars and all the different colors. You know, jasmine, jasper. Maybe you got all that figured out. And we think about heaven. When I think about heaven, I think about peace. Boy, won't it be nice. Nobody got shot. Nobody got stabbed. Nobody got robbed last night in heaven. Joy. Won't be any complaining in heaven. Be any misery in heaven. I don't know why I'm here. Won't be any of that there. Laughter. I think of the laughter and I think of the tears of joy as we reunite and embrace and just dance, so excited to be together again with our loved ones. And there'll be Jesus, the one that got us there, one that paved the way. I'm looking forward to seeing Him there. I'm looking forward to going. There's one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. Baptism won't get you to heaven. Lack of baptism won't keep you out. Church membership won't get you to heaven. Lack of church membership won't keep you out. Giving your tithes won't get you into heaven. Holding them back won't keep you out. Singing in church, preaching, being a missionary, whatever. Here's what gets you to heaven. Jesus, forgive my sins and save my soul. I'm a sinner and I need You. That's how. Humbly asking God's forgiveness through the Savior, Jesus Christ. God, I give my life to You. Write Your name in the book of life. And it cannot be erased. Now, can you imagine all those Jesus Christ when we finally get to heaven and we get to meet the One who made the way? By the way, I love Him today. I spend time with Him now. But I can't wait to see Him and hold His hands face to face. I hope you have the assurance of salvation. But if you don't, won't you pray right now as we stand? Father, we pray that You will draw us to You, that You will make us useful, that You will forgive our sins. God, that You will save souls today. We know there's so much more to life, to the Christian life, than just being saved. But that's the door. That's the way in. And so I pray if there's anyone here today that needs salvation, that they will claim that right now. In Jesus' name, amen. This is your opportunity. The altar's open. If you want to come and kneel and pray, you want me to pray with you, I'll be glad to. But you can pray from your heart to God's heart right now, whatever you need. Won't you surrender to God right now? Appreciate your attendance, your attention this morning. 6 o'clock tonight, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Is there anything else? Any announcements? Glad you're here today. Good to have visitors and guests and friends, and hope you'll come back when you can. Anything else? All right. Let's go to the Lord and dismiss with prayer. I'm going to ask if you would, Brother Andy, dismiss us, please.